On this week's episode of You're the Marketing Department, we talk about the importance of integrating sales and marketing, and Tobin gives you permission to not do something. Welcome to You're the Marketing Department, the show for you, the CEOs, VPs, or solo marketers inside a growing organization. Whether it's your main task or just one hat you wear, we're here to provide tips, resources, and encouragement as you perform the impossible, leading an organization as a one-man or woman marketing army. As always, be sure to check out our website, newnorth.com/podcast, for information about today's show, resources, ebooks, and insights into marketing. I'm John, I'll be the host of your show today, and I am joined by Tobin.
Hey John, how's it going?
Tobin, it's going pretty good. How about you?
Good. It's going well with me. You know, it's a good week so far.
Yeah.
First week of November, things are going well.
What have you been up to lately?
Writing. A lot of writing. A little watching TV.
Yeah? What have you been watching?
Oh, watched the World Series this week.
Oh, yeah. You and everyone else, I think.
Yeah.
Heard a little bit about it.
Probably the entire, population of the United States.
So, yeah. What's your take on
Well, actually, I only watched the last game, I'll admittedly say. It's held out to the last time.
Yeah.
And I only watched to the third inning.
True Cubs
fan. Of the last game. Not a Cubs fan. Not even really a baseball fan. But I figured I'd watch the last game and see how it was. But it was good baseball. That's what I will say. It was good baseball. Even reading the description in the morning of the play-by-play or the inning-by-inning was good baseball.
It was wild baseball. That was absolutely insane to watch.
Yeah. I mean, you had your score going all over the place.
You had it going all over the place when... In the eighth inning, Rajay Davis hit that two-run home run off of Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
I went nuts. I was by myself watching it, and I just went nuts.
Yeah. Probably someone walked by your apartment and saw you going nuts by yourself in there. What's wrong with that guy?
Yeah, probably my neighbors upstairs were.
Yeah. That abrupt scream at 11:35. Yeah! Probably set people off in the building. What's up with that guy?
Yeah. Anyway, so.
That's cool. That's good, yeah. It was good baseball, you know, good scoring, all that good stuff. And, you know, you were telling me a little bit, too, about our buddy Ben Zobrist, you know.
Well, first of all, so full disclosure, I'm a Pirates fan, and the Cubs play in the same division as the Pirates. And I have absolutely no sympathy for the Cubs. There's all this talk of, oh, they haven't won in 108 years. You know what? The Pirates haven't won since I've been alive.
Yeah, that's true.
So Ben Zobrist.
Yeah.
He wins on the Royals last year. He's a free agent. He comes to the Cubs. He wins on the Cubs. I don't know. I can respect the guys who have been on the Cubs for all the losing years, Anthony Rizzo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when a guy just comes out of nowhere and wins a World Series, and his name's Ben Zobrist.
Yeah. Well, I get what you're saying. That makes sense. I mean, he's definitely a hired gun in that respect. But you were telling me, too, about something which I didn't really know a lot about, but... He has a high wins against...
Above replacement.
That's a high score. So basically, it's part of this idea of the statistical analysis of baseball.
Right. So the whole baseball's gone through kind of a money ball statistical bonanza in the last decade, where it used to be people's skills were predicated and analysis of those skills just on watching them and how they looked and... maybe simple stats like runs batted in or average. But as statistical analysis has come to prominence, stats like wins above replacement that are more technical, take into account more data points,
right,
do a better job of capturing a player's actual real value.
Right, that's cool. So the more data they have now, they can change the way they focus, not just like, well, that guy just hits a hard ball. Like, there's more to their play than just what the average Joe would see.
Right. So Ben Zobrist... It's a high war, but I still don't like him.
But it shows the value of score in data points, which I think is what gets us into our conversation today about the sales and marketing scorecard. And so we're really talking about this idea of, can marketing communicate with sales in a way that helps us both benefit our positions and our departments? And really the key to that is going to be using a shared scorecard. By a shared scorecard, what we're talking about is data that we both bring to the table and are able to align each other and helps us both go forward. So let's take this as a question from the top. Really, why do we want to share? Why do we want to have a shared scorecard with marketing and sales? Mm-hmm. I think the first thing that comes to mind to me is end-to-end reporting. We can't really value what we do from a marketing side unless we have the end to know what happens, right? If we don't have the dollars that are in the signed contract, we don't have the work order, we don't know what marketing is working, what's not. And you can definitely see some basic lead volumes, things like that, but you might throw 100 leads from one source and 20 from another, and your close rates might be completely different. So without knowing that end-to-end dollar, it really makes it hard to inform the rest of our marketing efforts.
Right, and I think when you're talking about end-to-end dollar, you're talking about revenue, ultimately. So revenue is really one of the main reasons that you're going to want to look at integrating your sales and marketing, because without a concrete revenue amount, you really can't know if your marketing is working or not. You're shooting in the dark, you're doing activities, and even if you're getting leads, if you don't know what the revenue attached to those leads are, ultimately, you don't know what you're doing.
Right, exactly. The leads lose their value, or the really how to rank what you're doing with lead generation becomes impossible. And I think from the why, from the sales side of things, is really about information pertaining to those leads, which I think we can get into in a minute here. So that those whys will drive that conversation. That's what you need to really sell them on in those initial conversations. Let's get together. Let's share what we've got. Let's try to make this connection and make it work. So when you get to that point, then what do you share? Sales needs to bring to the table their activity, their statuses, their closing, and their revenue. What you need to know is what happens to that lead after you hand it off.
Exactly.
What kind of calls happen? What kind of emails happen? If they're integrating their own emails, what kind of meetings happen? So you're seeing the sales process. So you can say, well, you know, days to close on leads that come from this source, or days to close on leads that have been affected by this campaign, are all pieces you can put together once you know what happens to that lead as it passes over. So that integration is going to require some technology, but in the same sense, even if not, it's still good to know what sales needs. So when you guys come together with the share, sales needs to bring to the table their activity, the statuses of those leads you've passed over, closing, and then obviously the revenue, which we've been talking about. What does marketing need to bring?
I definitely think one of the main things that marketing needs to bring to the table is the source of the leads. So that'll go a long way towards influencing how sales treats those leads. And then also just from your perspective, if you know that when sales brings the revenue in and you know that you're getting great revenue from, say, leads from social, and you're getting lower revenue from leads from email campaigns, that will inform both of your actions.
Absolutely. I think the one of the key handoff pieces there is if marketing's doing their job right, which you should be if you're listening to this podcast, is lead scoring too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so to know what your lead scores are, that you've got a methodology for ranking their activity, what they've been doing on the websites, campaigns, things like that. So you're passing over not just leads, but scored leads.
Do you think that lead scoring should be something that sales and marketing come together to?
Absolutely. I don't think you really get to lead scoring until you've started to have these conversations, because your marketing's value of scoring needs to be influenced by what sales sees on the other side. Because they may say, well, yeah, this person looks great except for X. And X may be a game changer, right? X could be just, we don't even deal with people in that space or something like that. So
it'd
be helpful to understand that from that perspective. So once you come to get together, you get your why, you get your what you're going to share. When do you want to do it? I would advocate for a monthly sharing, but I think overall the true solution to this, marketing and sales coming together, is tied up in a piece of technology like HubSpot, something like that, where you've got a CRM, you've got the sales CRM, you got the marketing system talking together. And we've seen HubSpot, Salesforce, Pardot, or Marketo and Salesforce, however you bring it together. But technology, I think, is going to bind it, which you can see numbers happen more regularly. But in terms of when you sit down at the table together and kind of talk about what's happening, I could easily see monthly being a part of that.
Definitely.
And so let's talk about more specifics into what we're going to share in terms of the actual data pieces and really what we're going to get out of this. Because when we come down to like how we're going to share this stuff, we want to really know what we're going to get out of it and what the two of us, meaning sales and marketing, can then report back to the corporation as value. So from the marketing side, we're going to be bringing actual leads, right? And leads based on sources. So that comes through all spectrum of sources. So whether you're dealing with social leads, direct leads, organic search leads, and really any kind of lead data we have of their initial sources, even leads that sales may have given to you from a trade show they went to, you're still tagging that so we understand really the generation of any of those leads.
Right.
So once you have that, I think what we're able to do then from the marketing side is through any of our activities, we can bring in MQL, which means marketing qualified leads. So whatever we're doing from the marketing side, whether it's a drip campaign, social engagement, any kind of marketing, drop mailers, anything you're doing in that capacity that's getting to them, you can then start ranking those MQLs. Typically, MQLs are scored MQLs, meaning there's something they did, there's some kind of reaction they've done.
To give them that status.
Yeah, it's not just more information on the lead. It's actually that there's something that says these guys are ready
to
go.
And
really that MQL is where the handoff happens in most companies. So we hand off MQLs to the sales department saying, marketing says, here's the plate that has all of our best leads on it. Yeah, we've got a bucket of leads that we're still working on.
Right.
These guys have moved up the chain.
Now they're ready for sales.
Right, now they're ready for sales. So sales gets them, and they're going to do their first thing, which is now qualify sales qualified leads.
Right.
So the SQL, the sales qualified lead, this is where the sales team who maybe hasn't touched a lead before, they are going to now reach out and touch these leads. Phone call, drop by visit, trying to set up an appointment. Usually it's typically a phone call, or maybe it's a direct email if there's an open possibility there. That's where the sales team is going to start qualifying them themselves, because you may pass over, again, a great marketing qualified lead, but that person is maybe just discontent or doesn't
want to work coming. There's some data points that you can't know until you have that personal contact.
Exactly, to have that first contact, absolutely. So the sales qualified lead number is something that sales is going to do. When you pass over the 30 MQLs for the month, they may come back and say, well, we sales qualified 25 of those or
that's
20 of those. That'd be good.
I'll give it to you.
That'd be a good conversion, exactly. So then the sales qualified leads are really the sales leads that the sales team is going to start working, right? They're not just anonymous names. They're really some pieces. And in both sides of that, if you're using a piece of software, you can see activity on both sides of that platform to see what happens to the sales qualified leads when sales takes over versus what's been happening on the backside. I mean, a sales guy, when they get a lead coming in, one of the clients we work with, we set up lead scoring. And so when the lead came into the sales guy, it had a score on it, but it also showed them what had been happening, what kind of gave them that score, what's been recent history. I mean, were they at the site yesterday, or were they at the site a week ago or a month ago? I mean, how fresh is it? That kind of data really helps the salesperson enter that call.
That's all inside a marketing automation system, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no really other way to get that size of marketing automation. You can do analytics, but it'd be a real pain to do it. But that's the beauty of the sharing, right? So what we're pitching up here is this idea of getting on the same page so you guys can integrate systems and move forward in that. And then sales guy, when they have it, they're able to do some great data. So they're using Salesforce, for example. They can work their stages so you and the marketing department can see what stages these sales qualified leads progress to. And then ultimately, have their pipeline tracking, which I'm sure most organizations are that have a sales department, pipeline tracking with revenue, and you can see closed revenue. And if that link is made, then you're able to pull back and really see some great stuff. And a couple of the reports that interest us the most in this, which probably interests you, is obviously total revenue for the month. That's the sales team's
that's the ultimate
big goal. But then to see something like, well, let's look at cost per lead by source.
Right. That is so valuable.
Yeah. So see, like, are you spending enough, or which leads are most valuable to you? So you may have a very small part of your budget put into pay-per-click, but it's
generating
producing
huge ROI,
the most ROI. And also looking at things like, well, what's your lead to close ratio by source? I mean, maybe that you're getting good leads here, but they're not closing as frequently or as quickly as other ones, even days to close by lead source. I mean, you really start combining these pieces, because it may seem like, oh, you've got a volume of leads in one department, but they may just fall off the cliff once sales gets to them, right? You can drum up a lot of interest over a certain channel, but then it falls through, like social. You may be able to get a lot of interest over social.
Right.
The MQLs come in, but they just don't go anywhere. So it just depends, not to give social a bad name or anything, but I think that there's just...
Hypothetically,
we've seen other ways too it's worked. So I think when you start thinking about that and what you can really prove, because you both come to the table with the CEO, the CFO, the whole team there about what's going on in marketing, to be able to present this kind of data saying, well, marketing's been doing X activities which have generated X amount of revenue for the company.
Right.
And the sales team can say, you know, we've been doing this kind of activity from these kind of leads which have generated the same amount of revenue, and the cooperation that happens there is going to make both departments look better, because you guys can optimize and say, well, like, more leads from this side versus this side. Really tweaking those offers. And if one side's struggling, maybe there's an investment issue you need to work on, or an optimization there, because maybe these are great leads, but we just don't have enough of these. maybe leads that have been touched by a certain campaign or by a certain message. I mean, if we work those leads more, we get more of those leads, we could see our revenue jumping greatly. Without that data, it's just all numbers. It's just 10 of these, 20 of these, 50 of these, doesn't have any value to you. So there you have it. We want to just present a clear example and some ideas of how, when, and why you need to work towards this integrated sales and marketing scorecard. If you are not working with your sales department right now very closely, I would just encourage you to go further into that. I think it's got a ton of value for you from a marketing department side of things. Gives you so much room to grow. And once you make that critical connection from dollars earned back to your efforts, you can really start seeing some value chain, kind of a value chain happening within your organization. It's going to open up marketing to have more dollars in their bucket because we can start seeing what we're doing and if it's effective. And it's very easy to put a dollar into a machine that gives you $2 back.
I like that machine.
And any company would be happy to stick as much money as they can to that machine. And if you can create that machine through your marketing sales relationship, both departments will be off to a better start.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, we're going to bring you a different kind of food for thought segment here today.
Oh, yeah.
And this one is just really more of a contemplation, not an outside thing. I want you just to think about this statement. And as you go into your planning or just looking at your things around you, I want to give you, not that you need it from me, but I want to encourage you in it, give you the permission to cut something.
Oh, that's good.
Cut something from your marketing activity. I feel like a lot of times organizations, even ourselves, we get into doing a lot of things. There's a lot of things on our plate and there's room for, you know, scheduling things out and doing those things. But I think in most organizations, they're usually doing one or two things they probably don't need to be doing.
Right.
So I want you to think about that from your perspective of marketing. Can you lay out all your marketing activities and just simply take one thing off? It sounds arbitrary. There's lots of thinking there, but I really think, you know, thinking about Pareto's rule here, the 80 that produce or the 20 that produces the 80,
right?
There's guarantee there's something on your list that's gonna not produce value. You probably already know what it is. You're thinking this is just an errand. This is something the CFO wanted to do. He threw it on my desk or something like that. Mm-hmm. You already know what it is. I just want to give you encouragement and the permission, even though if you get fired, don't call me. But you know, to cut it. I mean, you know what's working in your organization. If you're following the steps that we're laying on the podcast or found the methodology, you're starting to hear and understand what's making marketing work, how you can tie these metrics together. And really with the sales alignment that we just talked about, you should have a good feeling of what's going to produce value and what's not. And if you can't value, you can't understand if it's going to produce value, I'd be really hesitant going into it. Mm-hmm. So cut something. Take something off of your docket. Maybe it's a print mailer or it's a retooling some kind of social media channel that's struggling. Maybe you just don't need to be on it. Maybe YouTube, maybe video is just not where you need to be, even though video is a great channel. But maybe it's Twitter. Maybe you've been doing Twitter for a long time and, you know, you get steady traffic. Maybe it just isn't producing any results. Just cut it. Cut it out. Pull from back from it. Make a stand. Do something courageous in that. It's only going to help you focus down what you're doing. But, you know, have some thought behind it. Don't just, you know, throw a dart at the wall kind of scenario here. But I'm sure you're already thinking of something when I say that of what needs to go. But just do it. I think that's going to help you keep better alignment, especially as you're trying to keep your activity going, especially coming up here on the new year as all the slates start back at zero and we see what we can produce for the year. Make sure you're going in there with a light load because things will come on. So be sure to prune back this season here. Cut what doesn't work. Move some things around, and I know you're going to be thankful for it come January 1 when all the new requests come in and the next social media channel pops up. So think about that, run with that, and hopefully that gives you some encouragement, some thought as you move into your planning and exercise for January.
All right, and now we're going to cut off for today's show. So that's it. Be sure to subscribe to us in iTunes and leave a review. And also, as always, be sure to check out the show notes on the website, newnorth.com/podcast.
Yep, and we have a LinkedIn group. Hop over there, ask questions, join the conversation once it starts happening. And you can always email us questions, thoughts at podcast@newnorth.com. We'd be happy to answer them on a podcast and get some thoughts going here. And Stay encouraged as you go out there, as your one man, one woman marketing army out there, and do great work. Talk to you later.